start asking why and start asking who, how to frame it in the context of what Simon Sinek alludes to. Start with why. Yes, I mean, obviously, I did used to be a big believer in Simon Sinek's approach with start with why and how people obviously at that time bought into the pure values of that company. But as I said, going into a purpose post-purpose area and where everybody is apparently claiming to be the Mother Teresa's of this world, it simply doesn't work anymore. And I think also from a societal point of view, we are approaching a different period in time where people are really buying into self-actualization, putting their values, dreams, and aspirations first because they can across what is happening in the marketplace. If they're not happy with brand XYZ, they can go and do something themselves. So it's very much about helping people today achieve what they want to achieve. And that is really the biggest accolade, the biggest achievement of any brand out there, because everything else will but just be a claim. If you start with why, that's simply a claim and you can become as brand activist as you want. The real difference with when you ask the pivotal question, who can help people become, is that I can feel that outcome. I am appreciative because Nike have pushed me to do sports. So that's the real difference. Share with us your inspiration for writing The Hero Trap and what do you see people taking away most from this book? Yes, so the book actually came about from a trip that I had to Malaga. So I tend to love to do these getaway trips each 1 year where I go away all by myself and I reflect about what I want to achieve and goals, both life goals and goals in the company. And that trip about 3 years ago, I did realize how extremely difficult it is to create the needed change in my own life. And I actually realized that we are, in fact, our own biggest barriers to the change that is needed. And obviously being someone who's been on the forefront of change for a decade now, I felt, wait, maybe I'm looking at change the wrong way. Because I looked at the organizations and the brands and our leaders to be the ones that were creating the change. But actually, in fact, we are ourselves the biggest change agents. So that's when I started to change the focus and obviously started to look to different methodologies like coaching and psychotherapy to understand how could I uncover tools? How could I uncover methodologies that could help create the needed change? And because ultimately, if I can change the behaviors of an individual, the mindset of an individual, then ultimately I can create change at scale. So that was the early days. And I think today, I mean, what are the takeaway that people have from this book? I do think a lot of people really open their eyes towards a different way of creating change. They open their eyes towards a different way of handling purpose. And I do really feel that this is a very personal book, and I feel people can see that when reading the book. And obviously, my biggest wish from anybody reading this book is really that they go out there and they start seeing themselves as you know, somebody who can influence change and be the catalyst for somebody else's change. So what caused you to title the book The Hero Trap? Oh yes, that was a long journey, as it is when you want to name a child. And in fact, one of the things that I wanted to make a point of in the book was that any change is a journey. And as you can see, in the, I can't remember whether it's page 5 or whatever, but in the beginning of the book, there's a little paragraph called Behind the Title, where I'm very open about some of the real shitty titles that I had for the book in the beginning. And as you can see, Adele Rodriguez, who's an amazing illustrator, probably one of the best in our time, has also shared some of his early attempts to creating the imagery for The Hero Trap. So I think what ultimately made me decide on the Hero Trap, which in some aspects is a, you know, a negative title or like a warning, was for me to make people kind of wake up. And also because I think that I did witness so many brands and leaders again and again running into the Hero Trap by positioning themselves, by standing on the pedestal and screaming, you know, I can change the world, and then obviously failing and being criticized for it. You're making the case to move from mass to me. Could you elaborate? Yes. So obviously I did touch on that in one of the earlier questions that you did ask, but obviously the fact that, we're all in charge. I mean, we are all so much more in control of what we buy, the whole marketing mix, and everything has become much more transparent. And I think the world has just been so much more decentralized in that aspect. So I think that is what people are ultimately expecting as well from brands. And obviously you can see with some of the challenger brands out there, the growth of them and how people today expect to be able to reach out to a brand on Instagram and get a response. So the world has become much more personal and as you touched on earlier also, the speed of things. So what I witnessed in the book in some of those cases was obviously that when people went from create the campaign, we create the product, we create the service, we set the prices, to a much more engaging and open framework, people did participate. And in the sense, in essence, you weren't, as an organization or as a brand, as traditionally dependent on the resources, whether that is staff or time or money, because suddenly you're outsourcing that to people who are taking part because they want to take part. And one of the cases in the book that I really like is actually the really fast-growing coffee chain Wheelies that in 7 years managed to go into 42 markets, which I think actually took Starbucks probably double or even triple the time. So business model, it's really built around decentralization and putting its micro-franchisees values first. So I think it's a real important point in the book that you ought to move from mass. And even if you look at what is happening right now in US politics today, and this, as good or bad as an example as this can be, but even Trump go up against traditional channels when he want to talk to his fans, his audience, then he write very frankly on Twitter. And I think that's also kind of like a very personal me approach in the way that he talks and the way he engages with his fans. So how radical is the what's in it for me syndromes? What's in it for me syndrome? Are brands missing the boat here? You know, obviously, for me, you can say, am I preaching customer centricity? Am I preaching Jeff Bezos on speed here? I'm not really. I mean, I really try and take a much more human-centric approach. You know, what does it really mean? What is it to be a human being? What is it that rocks our boat? And obviously, I touched upon earlier research, for example, self-determination theory, self-actualization, some of these things, because obviously, for some reason, economists and sociologists have convinced us that we're driven by status and money, but in fact, we are, in many instances, self-motivating, and especially when it comes to things like our career and passions and hobbies. So in that essence, I think it's really about brands being life-centric, in finding a meaningful role to play in people's lives. So it's not necessarily what's in it for me per se. It is really, you know, how can brands help me achieve the things that I want to achieve in my life? So I think there's a slight difference in that approach.